ありがとう。さあのばばく、さあのぶなく、さあびやんからばばはい、てじゃすりなばりたますとまびっびしゃばはい。Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, welcome everyone, those who came yesterday, those who are coming today. Just briefly introduce His Grace Prithivardhan Prabhu. He is the Dean of the Academy, the Bhaktivedanta Academy. Actually, we have the Gurukul here, but the Bhaktivedanta Academy is actually the institution that we run. So in the Bhaktivedanta Academy, there's different schools. One of the schools is the Boys Gurukul. Even in the Boys Gurukul, we have the ashram, which is the Sandipan Muni ashram, then different schools inside the school. And Prithivardhan Prabhu with Mother Gauranga Prabhu, they are the deans of the whole academy. He was himself a student of the academy. He came many, many years back. And he's the father of all the boys here. So he knows everything about Gurukul. He's running for years and years the school. Even our own father is also a teacher. So thank you for coming. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So yesterday we heard a very nice introduction to this symposium by Maharaj. And let's see, maybe we can try to make it more interactive. And now, I would like to ask you then, what do you understand, what do you remember, what is the purpose of education? What do you understand? Yes?
To perceive and serve Brahman constantly. That is Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
To become God conscious.
God conscious, Krishna conscious. Yes.
He's just curious. He's not angry.
Yeah. Everybody okay?
Just curious. It's not thank you.
Well, that's one of the purposes, yeah. Okay, yes. So Krishna consciousness. So then, education actually is about to lead the student to realize how to be Krishna conscious. Now, as you know, now there are different stages, right? So there's this knowledge which one acquires, but that knowledge on its own it's not usable or it's not very useful as long as it's not applied. So then applied knowledge, that means that's realization. So in the Shastra, then there are three stages. There's something which she likes. Careful. Too many people. No, bhanda karo. So in the Shastra, there are defined in three stages of education. The first stage is called Shravanam. Then the next is Mananam. And the last is Nididhyasana. Shravanam means acquiring knowledge. It means what's happening. Right? You hear knowledge, you read, you get from others, from the peers, from your friends, you get from the internet, like Google, you know. That's, you can say it's all Shravana, acquiring. Now, this is the first stage. That's what you do, you acquire. But then, what do you do with it? Just, you know, to have knowledge, for the sake of having knowledge, what is the use? What is it used for? It's not useful. So then, the next stage, it's mananam. Mananam means mind, actually means contemplating. Contemplating on what? Contemplating on how to apply that knowledge which you have acquired. And what happens when you apply knowledge? Then you realize that you know or you may not know. So then the process of mananam repeats again. And each time you will get level of realization. And if you keep applying it, you keep elevating your consciousness, and then ultimately you come to the ultimate realization, which is self-realization. Like example, we can use maybe cooking, right? So you hear about how to cook something, maybe how to cook pasta, right? So you hear that. That's Shravana. But when you hear that, or when you read the recipe, can you do it? Maybe, but likely that you may not be very good at it. Then what do? You contemplate. Oh, okay, they say use cooking pot. Okay, what is cooking pot? Where do I have it? So then, okay, you get the cooking pot. Is it big enough? You have to contemplate. And then you put it. You don't put enough water, you cook the pasta, it's not going to be good. Wow, okay, so you realize, I have to put more water. And as you are applying that knowledge, then you are realizing. When you realize that knowledge, then you can always do it. So this is the process of education. Now, the Vedic education leads the students through these stages in the Gurukul system. Now, it's not really possible to say that you may have the student to realize. The teacher cannot say that. That I will make you realize. Why not? The teacher cannot have the student to realize the subject unless and until he does the endeavor. So, and what is the endeavor? Now, all the students, they hear the same. But how do they contemplate? That's a difference. So the teacher, he has to be able to give the various aspects of how to explain the mananam. When the mananam is given to the student, then he is able to contemplate and apply. Therefore, if education is only about shravanam, only about just memorizing books, and the teacher doesn't explain how to use it, it's incomplete. I knew one that time boy, and he had memorized all the ships in the Second World War, and he would tell you everything about it. Now, how many soldiers were on? Now, how many cannons were there? How many guns? And just everything about it. And so what? What can he do with it? What's the use? What is useful? Or maybe if you go to some quiz or something, then you may win something. But it's not useful. So the education must lead the student to be able to contemplate. And that's under the guidance of the teacher. Now, as we said, some students are more capable of doing that and some are not. And why is that? What makes the difference? Now, okay, another question then for you. What is the determining element that the student is going to or is capable of contemplating and or that he is not? What would you say that is the factor which determines that? What? Yes.
Understanding.
Okay. Well, the full understanding is the realization. Yes?
The association and moment is living and growing.
Okay.
Previous sanskar. Mind.
Say?
It is said that unless someone understands his identity in some manner, he will not be able to contemplate.
Yeah, true.
Confidence.
Okay.
Introspection.
Now, yeah, okay.
This purity level.
Purity. Okay.
Standard of spiritual level.
Eagerness to learn and being submissive to the teacher.
Eagerness to learn. Okay, that's a good and
desire.
Desire, eagerness to learn. Actually, what it is that everybody has? What it is that the jiva can do?
Desire.
The jiva can only desire. So actually what it is the free will. If you want to, you can do it. If you want to, then you will be able to contemplate on what you have learned and realize it. But if you have some other agendas, if you have some other ways you want to do something else, then you won't be able to. If you think about the jiva, right, comes here. The jiva is a spiritual spark. And it comes, and due to the false ego, then it's somehow able to survive in the material world. But the jiva has nothing under control. The body is controlled by the Paramatma. The gunas are controlled by the Paramatma. Everything is controlled by Krishna. So, but the jiva, the only thing which it can do is to desire. If the jiva desires to enjoy the material world, Krishna will give opportunity. Krishna will arrange it. But then, through the desire, then we are creating karma. And through the karma, then we are getting more conditions. So, and if the jiva realizes to desire Krishna consciousness, then everything happens. The same way, the Paramatma arranges for that the jiva will be exposed to Krishna consciousness, to association of the devotees. Right? So, if the desire is right, then the free will be right. And if the jiva then desires, okay, I want to learn. I want to now know how to apply this knowledge. Then what will stop the jiva? But because of our conditioning, then it's not so easy. It's not easy, no, really, to immediately take, no, give or expose the jiva to Krishna consciousness, thinking that will be Krishna conscious. We see the example of Krishna and Balaram. Okay. They went to Gurukul and they heard everything once and they knew it. So they spent few days in Gurukul and they graduated perfectly. And then for us, it takes years and years to realize something. So, the process of education, the teacher actually applies the process. He gives the knowledge to the student. And he encourages the student to contemplate. And then while he is contemplating, then he is also being guided. Now, as we said, you apply what you have learned, and then sometimes you realize, okay, this is good. And sometimes you realize, this is not good, what I was doing. But it's also realization. So that process being properly applied, it leads the student to complete realization. Now, the ability or the not ability, the inability to have the right desire, it depends on one's anarthas. That's anarthas in the heart. Those are the conditioning. Anarthas are the seeds of desires. So, if we are capable of removing the anarthas, then we are capable of elevating the consciousness of the person. And therefore, another goal of the education is to properly train the students to expose them to to the devotional service such a way, so then the anarthas from the heart are removed before the students actually reach the puberty. If you can do that, then you can save the boy, so then he doesn't have to go through unnecessary nonsense. So that's why the education starts at the earlier age. If you, like Maharaj was explaining yesterday, if you have somebody coming not at the later age, when the water is already, like it's overflowing, the river is overflowing, there is experience. And the experience means attachment. And attachment then again creates more desires, and it's very difficult to remove them. But if you deal with the child before the experience happens, so the anarthas can get removed without even the child knowing about it. So this is very important point to know, to understand that we can help the children this way. We can help to remove the anarthas, and therefore you can help them to properly realize what they are learning. And then, so another way, or another way, addition to it, then Maharaj also mentioned already, you know, something about samskaras. The samskaras are also meant for that. So through doing the samskaras to the child, then you are developing or helping him to develop good qualities, good health, you know, whatever it may be. So he gets the ability to develop the good qualities through the samskara. So, as a parent and as a teacher, then we should very much endeavor to work for, so then these children are given the samskaras, so then they don't have to go through that bad experiences. Okay. Sometimes, well, Srila Prabhupada, no, he explains the importance of samskara. Sometimes I hear, well, Srila Prabhupada said that we don't do samskara, we don't have to do. Just chant Hare Krishna and everything will be fine. Well, that's just chanting Hare Krishna, it's good for, you know, if maybe, you know, brahmachari say that. But, you know, for the grihastha, then he should be very eager. He should be, you know, wanting really to have the child as best qualities as possible. And in Bhagavad Gita, it's a 16th chapter. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he explains, these are the, you know, divine and demoniac qualities. And Srila Prabhupada explains, if you want your child to develop the divine qualities, you should perform the 10 samskaras for him. So here it is, but it's done again. If you want that your child develop the divine qualities, it's up to you. Now, why are these samskaras important? Sometimes, you know, we hear Well, they are just rituals. We don't care about rituals. Are they just rituals? What is a samskara? Who knows, like, samskara, what it means?
Creating impressions, divine impressions.
Impressions. So, true, the samskaras are rituals. But that's not the purpose of the samskara. The purpose of the samskara is to create impression and through the impression elevate the consciousness. So if after the samskara there's a change of consciousness, then the effect is there. If the samskara is done without the endeavor to change the consciousness, then nothing happened. It was pointless. So, very important is to figure out how to do the samskara. Samskara is not just the mantras or not just the yajna. It's the whole environment. You see, for example, initiation. What is initiation? What is the important part in taking initiation?
Wow.
Wow, which one? Yes?
Relationship with
disciple and guru. True. But the most important, based on the relationship, most important is, okay, the guru gives you instruction. Chant Hare Krishna. That's initiation. That's the shiksha, actually. But we are so conditioned. So, because of our conditioning, then also guru gives us the four regulative principles. So you chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and you don't break these regulative principles, then that's complete instruction. And how does it happen? Right? So then you go, you put new tilak on, you put new clothes, you put new kanti mala, and then you sit in front of the fire. What is the fire? What is the fire meant for? The fire is there because you are making a vow in front of the fire. So you are making commitment. So when you understand this, then you properly commit yourself to follow the vow which you have made to your spiritual master. Now, when sometimes the mind becomes a little crazy and then you may feel, you know, bewildered, and then you may get, you know, even some thoughts breaking the regulative principle. When the samskara is done, you know, properly, then it's meant to protect you. It's meant to protect you, so then you remember, wow, no, I gave a vow. I made a vow in front of the fire to my spiritual mother, I cannot do it. Give my chanting 16 rounds every day. Oh, sometimes I don't, but no, I always catch up. No, sometimes I heard the devotees, how many rounds you have to chant? Oh, I have to chant like 200 rounds. Because I was busy for past 2 months and then I could not chant. And that wasn't the promise. The promise is minimum 16 rounds a day. So we should always remember, I promised in front of the fire. So that's what the samskara is. And when they are done properly, they are very powerful. There is one samskara, Pumsavanam. And that actually, no, it's done during the first pregnancy. And it's to ensure that the mother will deliver a boy. So then there is always like the son. Now when the samskara not done properly, it works. And I have heard one case that there was a devotee, and the mother was carrying a girl from the ultrasound they saw, and the Pumsavana samskara was done even later than 3 months, and boy was born. It works if done properly. So the power is there, but with the right consciousness. With the right consciousness, then changes the consciousness of the persons involved, and it works. So that way, then we can, through the samskara, give like credits to our children, right? It's like, no, like making like a bank account. So then you give them credits of good quality, which is more than money. Give them, you will be healthy, you will be this, you will be able to focus, you have determination, steadiness. And then when they grow, now through that, then they can absorb the knowledge which they are exposed to. So that way, then the children are being educated. Now, if you have any questions, anything is not clear, or that anything we should explain more, just please ask. Yes. Wait, let the tractor go by. Say like for example Gavarana Samskara, right? Then I had heard devotees, well, we had done the Gavarana Samskara, we done everything, but look at our kids. No. So then what does it mean, right? I had seen some funny picture. It's like a crazy kid, and then and then there was a capture. My parents chanted on 63 rounds for conception. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, read Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna extra rounds. But if you read Bhagavatam just for the sake of reading Bhagavatam, it's beneficial. But if you are not focused on what you are reading, if you are not actually like studying it, if you are chanting rounds, because you can chant 64 rounds, but you may not even once properly realize what you are doing. So if your chanting is inattentive, that's namapara. If your reading of Bhagavatam is inattentive or thinking about completely something and distract, it's also, you won't get the benefit. So then, and in that state, performing Ravana Samskara, then it's not going to be Krishna conscious. It won't work. So to properly do the Samskara means there must be a change of consciousness. Therefore, the samskaras are done such a way, the mantras are done such a way to make you realize that you are responsible, to make you realize that you are not alone. So, in those mantras, you are asking Krishna to help. You are surrendering yourself. You are asking for protection. And that makes you connected to Him. Makes you realize, it's not me, I cannot do. And then, therefore, if you can drop the attachments, and if you can maintain the Krishna consciousness, then there is a good chance that your child will be Krishna conscious. But you see, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, now he had mentioned, right? If I would know that my children would be Krishna conscious, I would get married and have money. But who can guarantee this? You take, on the other hand, you take example of Hiranyakashipu. Such an atheist. But because he was Krishna conscious, he was Vishnu conscious. Not necessarily the right way, but he was Vishnu conscious. And because of that, at the time of the conception, because of his consciousness, he attracted Jiva, who is Krishna conscious. So, the consciousness during the conception, it attracts certain Jivas. So, what is the consciousness of the parents? That will be the combined consciousness. It will be attracting the Jiva which enters the womb. Another example you can see, King Vena. His father, Maharaj Anga, great devotee. But the mother wasn't Krishna conscious. So therefore, he was not a good kid. Now, of course, Krishna made it such a way that it was to make Maharaj Anga to actually become frustrated and then to properly to renounce his kingdom and become self-realized, which had happened. And that led to also to appearance of Maharaj Prithu. So, but we should take example from that. We should see how it works. And not that, prove it to me. No, I cannot see it, therefore it doesn't exist. That's what the scientists would say. But we see so many things. The consciousness, the mind is so powerful. So why cannot it work? You understand, it's the samskara is successful if the consciousness had changed, elevated, improved. If there is no change of consciousness and it's done just for the sake of getting it done, no use. So like when you have now the Hindu ceremonies, when it's all like a social scene. Even marriages. It's just about socializing. There's no much of power in that. Upanayanam, when they give it's the focus is not actually that the boy is not getting the upanayanam, but it's about have a nice feast, have a nice talk. It's just like socializing. But if it's done and that the focus is on the boy getting the upanayana, and then he is giving vows. And when it's done properly, then the boy feels, I have to follow these vows. I have promised. So now, he has made commitment and he is going to be pushed. That's what the samskara does, if done properly. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Yeah.
What are samskaras that are there?
What samskaras are there? Well, there are 10 samskaras. Then, you know, Vivaha is mentioned as the first one. Then after Vivaha, then there's the Garbharana. And then there are the samskaras to protect the mother, protect the child, the Simanta Nayanam, and then Jata Karma, when the child gets born. Then when the child is born, so then, you know, he remains in the Garbhagriha, and then go out for the first time. It's Nishkramanam. Then he gets the name, the Namakaranam. Later on, then he gets shaved, so the Mundanam. He gets the first grain, and throughout the first year, then there's the Paushtika Karma. So that's done for his well-being, for his health, not for the every month, for 1 year. And then Vidyarambha, he starts studying. And then once he's studying, then in the process he gets Upanayanam. So then he is able to study the Vedas. And after that, then there is Samavartana. Which he graduates from the school, and then again Vivaha. So that's a cycle, which the living entity goes through. And of course, then after it is Antyashti. It also happens. So yeah, those are the samskaras, and that's something which especially as a parent, you can help your children. Like also Maharaj was mentioning yesterday, that sometimes it happens that the parent, they come to ask about the school before they have a child. So they are planning, they are not planning good muhurta. They are planning that at the time they have a good association. So then they become Krishna conscious. Because the act on its own, it's very difficult to maintain Krishna consciousness. But if you are doing everything to desire that, Krishna helps. So that's one of the six surrender, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. Feeling that I'm unable to do anything on my own. So, Krishna, I would like to have Krishna conscious child, to please you. But I'm unable to, please help me. In the helpless condition, then Krishna is more than willing to help. But we have to have the faith. So that way, then we can help to properly elevate the consciousness of the jiva to be born based on the samskara. We have to also understand the child, when the child is in womb, then from like the third month it's conscious, it absorbs. So then what's being spoken, like Narada Muni also, he comes and he preaches to Prahlad Maharaj's mother. Prahlad was in the womb, so he's preaching to him. No? And it's very powerful. The child actually is very, very focused, responsive. So if we put all these things together, then we can hope that the child will be Krishna conscious. But we can endeavor as much as we want, but we cannot guarantee. You cannot guarantee. You as a parent, you cannot guarantee. As a teachers, we cannot guarantee that the child will be Krishna conscious. But we can do everything for to make the child Krishna conscious. Like we mentioned Maharaj Anga, right? He did everything for. He saw that Vena is a rascal. And he did everything for to try to preach to him, to bring him up, to change his consciousness. And he did everything, but he could not change. And because he did everything what he could have, then he was able to walk out without attachment. Problem is, when the parents don't do everything, when you don't do everything what you could for your child, and your child turns to be bad child, then what will happen? You will blame yourself. Your children will blame you. It's painful. But there is nothing you can do about it. Because you know very well that you did not do your best. Therefore, you cannot really detach yourself like that because you have a guilt. You feel guilty. So to avoid that, then we should do everything from the beginning, everything the best we can to help our child. And then, no matter what the result will be, then we will not feel responsible. We will not feel guilty if it turns that the child, no, maybe it didn't turn to be a good child. So, this aspect, you know, of the education, it's very important. So the parents don't need to later on, you know, feel guilty, responsible. No, I could have done that. Yeah, if I would done that before, then it will be okay. But now, what can I do? No, my son is now old, and he's a rascal. But I cannot do anything. I cannot tell him anything. What can you do? Then, Acharya said that time, the only thing which you can do is just take shelter of the holy name. That's all. There's nothing more, nothing else you can do. Yeah. Okay.
For those children whose parents have come to Krishna consciousness after their birth, so for them, which samskaras can be done when they want children to be educated? What are samskaras can be done?
See, you know, some of these samskaras, they can also be done, not even like later. They will not have that much effect. But, you know, we could do something. Depends how old the child is. But what's important to understand is that these samskaras, they have effect on the child. But overall, the importance or the outcome of what the child's consciousness, no, the child's character is going to be, the samskaras, you could say that they have like 40% effect. 60% is association. So the association is more, it's more important. So even though the child may not receive the samskaras, but he is exposed to good association. Of course, as early as possible, earlier better. Then the character can very easily be trained. Maybe not very easily, no. Can be trained. Say it like this. Then adult, if, okay, there were no samskaras done, no, he's adult, the ego is of adult, right, he's matured, then you want to train him. What do you have to do? Yeah, but it also not always works. Means you have to develop the desire in him to do that. As we spoke, the free will. If he develops the free will, I want to do it, then you can train around. If you don't, if he doesn't want to do it, if he is doing it because he has to, then he can be doing it as long as you make him, but it will not help. It will revert back to what it was before. Like they did a very interesting research. The children who are not properly treated in the house, they are mistreated by the parents. Now, they don't like it, they hate it. And they say, I will never treat my kid like this. I hate it, and I don't want to do this to my kid. I will not treat him like this. Now, the result is that of those who say that, 9 out of 10 do the same thing. So when they have their own children, 90% of those who are mistreated, mistreat their kids. 10%, 1 out of 10, will not. Why? Samskara? Yeah, some effect. But actually it's association and actually it's a training. If you have no training, you don't receive a training. And then you become a father. What are you going to do? You will do what you remember from your childhood. You didn't like it, but if the kid screams and you don't know what to do, then you hit him like you got hit. That's why, now without the training, the children, now when they grow up, they will not be able to change it. So understanding this, then we can prepare the children properly for the education. Many times, you know, kids come, you know, to Gurukul and, you know, they are beaten at home. And then, you know, over here, like talking to them, there is no response. Because, you know, that when the children are, you know, getting beaten very often, then nothing else, that's the ultimate. And nothing else they respond to. So, but if the parents don't get the training, how will they know? So we, you know, in our society, you know, we are responsible to, you know, to train parents properly, so then can train the children. That's why, you know, actually establishing the Gurukula are so important. And I heard, I think there's some quote, no? That Srila Prabhupada said that the the headmaster of Gurukula, I think, is the most important post in the society. Something like that. Because the children are the future. Whatever you say. We may go out and we may make thousands and thousands of new devotees. But no matter what you say, it's still going to be the first generation. Because they have their own exposure or to their own samskaras, good and bad, more bad than good. And then they have to deal with it. So they will have the conditioning. But what about our own children in our society? We have to give training to them. They have to go to the proper training so they can become the second generation. They are not second generation just by biology. If they behave like karmis, they are not trained in the devotional service, how is it going to be second generation? So that's our responsibility. To see that they are properly taken care of, given proper shelter, properly trained, properly treated. So now, okay, how do we train? What is the way of training? Now, you must have heard Srila Prabhupada use it many times. The way how you acquire knowledge. That's by hearing, by seeing, and by experiencing. if you hear, don't put finger into the fire. It burns. If you can learn and realize by just somebody telling you, you are safe. You don't have to go through any pain. But you may think, well, yeah, that's what he says, but no. Where is he? He's old man, he doesn't know. I'm different. So I want to put finger into the fire. Then you may see a person putting finger into the fire and then blisters, burning. There's a pain. Oh, yeah. Fortunately, I didn't do it, Just seeing him, it's painful. So you may realize by seeing. Or you may still think, well, he was a foolish one. He didn't know how to do it properly. I am special. If I do it, nothing happens to me. Then putting it will happen. Then he realizes. Or not. No. But as long as he realizes, then ultimately, okay, each one gives more pain or more suffering. Hearing, you hear, do, that's a minimum. Seeing already makes you suffer. But if you learn, then you are quite safe. But then if you have to experience, you go through the pain. But if you realize even going through the pain, you are safe, you are good. That's good. Worse is that when you experience and still you don't realize and go again through it and again through it. Unfortunately, that's nowadays case with most people. They don't learn even not experiencing the suffering. So if we properly train the children to elevate the consciousness, then the ability for them to learn by hearing will increase. Also, why would they learn Why would they realize? No, by hearing from someone. It's based on the relationship. If a parent who takes care of the children, right? So they have faith. The children have faith in that person. The person tells, don't do it. Then it has a weight. But if somebody else whom they don't know or they don't respect, why should I follow him? And he will do it. There was the nice example Srila Prabhupada gave. When he was a small child, he wanted to put finger in the fan, running fan. And then his father, seeing that, he understood there's a danger. So then he switched off the fan and it was spinning down. Then he told Prabhupada, put finger there. And he got knocked a little bit. But it wasn't danger. But then immediately the child understood, wow, that's slow and it hurt a little bit. If it would be fast, I would maybe lose my finger. And then the Shabra said, no, since that I didn't want to put finger in the fan. But the desires are there, children are like this, so you have to be always step ahead of them and think what they may want to do, and if you teach them. So if it doesn't work by hearing, then you have to create a situation so then they see. So you discourage them to do what's not good and you encourage them to do what's good. And if that doesn't work, make them experience. But the realization must be there. Unless it's realized, it's not going to be applied. So this is now the effect. That's what we have to teach to the children. And then any question on this? Yes.
Could you explain the purposes of any of the ten samskaras?
Okay. Alright. So then the most important. Okay, so then starting then you can say the vivaha. So then the vivaha is it's actually commitment. So then the husband and wife or the future, the bride and groom. Right, so they make a commitment that we are going to live together to help each other to elevate our consciousness. So at the end of the life, then we can go back to Godhead. How are they going to do it? By performing their duties. And what are their duties? Then. The husband, he protects, he gives shelter. And the wife, she helps him in whatever needs while he is creating the shelter for the whole family. So if the commitment is there, and the commitment especially, we will have children, and we will want our children to be Krishna conscious. For that, we need to be trained. We need to follow rules and regulations. We need to be able to avoid what is bad. And the child must be the center of the family. Then the tendency, nowadays tendency, that when husband and wife for some time they are okay, and after some time they just obstacles come, right, in their relationship, and they figure, okay, I don't like you anymore, you are my problem. So divorce. And then I will get another one, better than you. And when the children are there, then what's going to happen to the children? A lot of parents don't have any consideration for the children. They suffer the most. But if it's understood as a commitment, and we are together to raise our child, they will never divorce. Because they will feel that, you know, the pain that the child will experience when the parents actually divorce. Whom are they going to? I heard one case that parents are divorcing, and they had a child, and they ask him, whom do you want to go with? What do you mean? We will not be together. You can go either with your mom or with your dad. Whom do you want to go with? The trauma, the experience of the child must have been very terrible. But it didn't. The parents didn't care really. It's very, very sad situation. But if the commitment is done, and whatever good or bad happens in our life, we will go through. And there will be a lot of bad. There will be some good, right? But we will go through it. If we commit to it, we can overcome that. And why should we really do it? For the sake of the child. And ultimately, for our own sake too. Because if we can go through it, we can maintain Grihastha Ashram. We don't have to maintain Grihamedi Ashram. And in that process of Grihastha Ashram, yes, frustration comes also. Through that comes a lot of realization. What is the realization? The realization is, I put so much of effort into the family. I gave so much. But what did I get back? It's not worth it. At the end, the child is grown up, he is on his own, and I realize that it was good experience, but good to the extent I don't want to have anything to do with the material world. I'm done here. So let me just fully surrender to Krishna now. That's when you live Grihastha Ashram, and through the frustration, you get this realization. Because the duties are very, very severe. So there is a pleasure, but there is the realization comes to that. So Grihastha can easily realize not to come back to the material world. Brahmachari, he must have gone through that Grihastha life previously. Therefore, he doesn't have to go through it. But that's what it is. You see, like the example of Kardama Muni. He, great brahmachari, but he wanted to get married. But because he was a great devotee, the Lord himself was born to him. But he said in the very beginning, look, we will be living. No, I will take care of you. And I will give you children. But once the children are grown up, then I'm taking sannyas. So, and he did exactly that. So, and then Kapila Dev was born, grew up, Kardama Muni took sannyas, went away. Kapila Dev, he took care of the mother, he explained the proper Sankhya philosophy. Mother got to the point of self-realization, and Grihastha Ashram was fulfilled. Everything was perfect. So if we now make the commitment during the vivaha, go through the difficult times, it's much easier. In fact, now the boy and girl, they should all discuss, okay, what if something happens, that not some difficulties, how do we deal with it? Okay, I will help you. There should be like verbal commitments before that, discussions. Because when it's spoken, then it is a way of commitment. So later on, these difficulties will come. And yeah, remember, now we are going through difficulties, and remember we are discussing that we will deal with it like this. Okay, it's done. We can trust each other. We can help each other. So the vivaha, the samskara, is about that. The making the commitment, strong commitment, that we are there to help each other to become Krishna conscious, and that we will help our children and help them to be Krishna conscious. That's the main purpose. Garbhadharana samskara, it's about the consciousness. So we want our child to be Krishna conscious. Sometimes book describes, you know, you should be contemplating on how you want your child. No, how, what face and what body and like that. But that's a nonsense. This is just karma. The devotee should meditate. We would like to have Krishna conscious child. Based on that, then if properly done, then that devotee will be born. But then we have the responsibility to find the proper association for the child, to give him good association, to find a proper way of his engagement, to train him properly. Which, now, if he is a boy, then he should be trained in Gurukul. If she is a girl, then no, she should be trained under proper guidance, not given by the mother. So that's the commitment again. Because we made the commitment before. So that way then we can focus on that. And then after the Garbhadharana samskara, so then there are the samskaras while the child is in the womb. And those are for protecting the mother, the simantanayanam, that's for the mother actually. For the health, there is one also done just before the jata karma, that the birth will be without problems. Then the jata karma is the child is born and he just went through like extreme trauma coming through the passage. It's just extreme trauma. And now you are welcoming him here in the material world. No. So you are giving blessings. Okay, you will be properly, you will be healthy, you will be developing good qualities. And then the other samskaras, developing these qualities, the steadiness, determination, focus. Nishkamanam is about the first experience he goes, and the first thing he goes to is a temple. He sees the Lord, the first impression. Then Nishkamanam. Yeah, then there's a Namakaranam also. Before, he gets the name. He also, so he hears the name of the Lord. He doesn't understand that this is his name. He doesn't understand what, but he hears the name of the Lord. Then, shaving the head, the first grain, anaprasana. So, the shaving the head is actually when the child is in the womb, then the hair is considered contaminated. So it's shaved. And then it grows, and after it is done the samskara, for boys, it's done again the samskara, and then leave the shika. No. But the first time, no, it's fully shaved. Then that's also an experience for the child. No. Losing the hair. And yeah, so the first grain never had any grain. So now he's able to eat as the parents are able to eat, so he doesn't need to eat only milk. So those are making impression on the child, and they are also like, you know, the consciousness coming from the parents. Then when he goes and with the Aramba, then the first time, like in the formal situation, that actually the teacher is teaching him to write. That's something not really. Oh, okay. Now I have to be more serious. Before it was just frivolous kid, now playing, doing whatever he wants. But now he has to be just sober and he has to learn how to write. Upanayanam. Then now he has to be responsible, and he's giving vows. Samavartana. Then now he's leaving the teacher, and then now he has to show that he's a valuable member of the society. And then vivaha again. Yeah?
Guruji.
Yes, Marie.
I have a question about starting relationships in between teacher and student. Actually, in a situation when a student is in new and old school, who is making the first step? Is a teacher kind of helping the student? Come forward and express himself, or is their desire the student?
Look, the teacher must see the students individually, and he should be able to recognize the potential of the student, each and every one. So then, what the teacher can only do, he can encourage the student to come to the potential. He cannot carry him and not make him achieve it. So the teacher encourages the student to desire to do what's good for him. You understand? He cannot not do it for him. But by the guidance and taking different angles, then he will encourage him not to do, to achieve what he is capable of. Like, for example, sometimes, see, when the children are very small, then they may be interested in something, right? Okay, I want to cook. Okay, fine. So the interest maybe lasts for a day or two, and then I don't want to cook anymore. I want to worship deities. So younger they are, then faster it changes. When they become elder, then the periods become longer. But when they want to do something, so okay, I want to cook with you. No, you are too small. That's wrong. You should figure out something. Okay, help me with this, and then give him something safe to do. And then you may think, okay, so he's going to be cook. So I will now make him cook. And then next day you try and he doesn't want to cook anymore. So you may be disappointed. Don't be. Okay. So at the moment, when he is interested in something, you encourage him in that. But encourage him in such a way, so then it's good for him. So make him to do it the right way. See, like, you may be wiping floor. And little kid, you know, comes and I want to help. So then maybe give him like a small rag and then, okay, wipe this. So then, you know, he wipes and it's bad, it's wrong. So you teach him how to do it nicely, he will learn something. And after that, I don't want to wipe anymore. Okay, fine. But he has learned something. Now, you may have to put energy into it. So, for you, maybe easier, just now go play, I don't want you to be around, because I am working and I can do it myself much faster than, you know, with you. But that's not good. Because then you are investing, you are, you know, actually training him. And then, maybe a few days later he doesn't want to do it anymore. But then maybe a few months later, okay, I would like to, you know, help you again. He's bigger and he can do more. So, whatever the desire of the child is at the moment, you should try to capture it and encourage him, you know, to do it such a way so then he improves his character, he becomes better. That will be the right thing. So the teacher also not does the same thing. When the child comes here, so then, okay, you know, some children are better at something and some at something else. Not the problem. What you are good at, then the teacher encourages, do this, and I'll teach you how to do it. Now the other child doesn't want to do this. Okay, no problem, you do this. Like, maybe somebody wants to sing. So some kid is into singing, so alright, no, sing. And then you can teach him some harmonium a little bit, some kartals, some singing. And the kid will be happy. The other kid, he doesn't want to sing, he wants to draw. So okay, so teach him how to draw. And both are happy and they're doing completely, you know, something else. And they don't bother each other. So through that, you are developing relationship with the child. The child sees that you are caring about him. And because of that, he trusts you. So then you can guide him. And then you can say, okay, now through the singing, why don't you sing something which is Krishna conscious? It is Krishna. So you can guide him from the, maybe seeming like a mundane activity, to develop devotional service. He is drawing some soldiers, he is drawing some cars. Fine, okay, why don't you draw Krishna? Okay. And no, you may draw Krishna. You make him do devotional service. So you can encourage. And the teacher must be able to take, you know, many, many angles. He may approach, you know, many students, right? You know, and then, okay, we do it like this. Most of the boys will be able to do it, to understand. Some will not. Then you have to find different way how to explain to the other ones. Not that, okay, so those understood, they are good and everybody else is bad. You cannot do it like this. That's not really a teacher. That's why, you know, the modern education is like, you gear for the most, but the other ones, no, they have to themselves somehow figure out. That's not in the book. But the teacher must go beyond that. So he has to, you know, capture each and every individual student and to be able to come to the realization, come to the point. So, to your question, it's actually the endeavor of both. Both student and the teacher, they are endeavoring, so then the student then becomes elevated. And actually, even by training the student, even the teacher benefits. That's what we chant the prayer in the beginning. Now the prayer is about, you are praying to the Lord, please nourish our relationship, protect us, so there may be no enmity among us. Give us the way of realization. So that's the prayer. So doing so, then both understand, the teacher understands his duties, the students understand their duties, and that way, then the teaching can go on. But there is one, see, Haridas Thakur, he speaks about devotional qualities. And these qualities, the devotional qualities being developed, are all depending on one quality. There is one primary quality, and all the other devotional qualities are secondary. Which one is the primary? Surrender, yeah. Why? Because if the student can surrender to the teacher, then he can hear from him, he can follow the instructions, and by following the instructions he can improve. If he is not surrendered, how is he going to hear? How is he going to follow? So, and when the student comes first to Gurukul, then he doesn't know the teacher. Right? He doesn't know. So it's important that the parents have they have faith in the teachers. They have the faith that, okay, I have faith that that teacher can help my student, my boy, to become a good person. Based on that faith, they can expand the faith of the boy, which they have towards the teacher, towards the parents, onto the teacher. So when the mother says, look, I really feel that that teacher is the best teacher for you, I have full faith in him, please go to him and follow his instructions. That will please me very much. If they say like that, and the boy has faith in the mother, then he will go and he will trust the teacher. And the teacher has the ability then, has the potential to actually train the student. But if there is no such a trust developed, when the parents talk, oh yeah, what did you learn today? We learn so many things. We learn how to, that after going to the toilet, we should wash our feet. And when the parents say, oh, no, we don't do this in our house. So what kind of faith will that boy develop in the teacher? So that will be detrimental to his education. And ultimately, such a boy will not be able to last very long. Because that when there are the clashes, like also Maharaj mentioned yesterday, that the education is about cooperation between the parents and the teacher. If it is a competition, who suffers are the children. You cannot train the children when there's a competition between the parents and the teacher. In that case, then the teacher says, I cannot teach, please, keep your child. It's the safest. Because who will suffer the most is the child. Yeah? Okay. Yes?
You were saying that the child hears and then he has to be guided to contemplate.
That the teacher... Well... See, he endeavors, okay? That's the teacher's duty. He endeavors, he guides the child to contemplate. Yes.
So what kind of guidance? What exactly, in what ways does he guide him?
See, it's very individual. Like, okay, we mentioned, say, the cooking, right? So, he sees that child has some skills, or he has some desire to learn some cooking. Okay, so I'll teach him how to cook. So then, you teach him how to cook the pasta or rice or whatever it is, and then you talk to him. You see how he does things. This is not right. This is good. Do it like this. Put this much of salt, and then observe what he does. When he does it, then you ask, okay, why did you put so much? Do you think it's going to be good? Shouldn't you put more? And then I don't know. If I put more, then it may not be so good. So, and then, after it's done, okay, he eats it. And he figures out he made a mistake. So then, again, the teacher says, so what do you think, how is it? No, it's not so good. Why is it not so good? Because maybe I put too much of salt. Right. So, next time pull less salt and then try it again. Then he realizes, wow, okay, this is much better. Now, okay, this is a plain pasta. Now, what can you do with it? You can make a sauce. What kind of sauce can you make? Think. Tomatoes, or you can make white sauce, or you can make so many. And you teach him. It's a science. But then the application of it, it's an art. So you teach him both. How the tastes work. So you do it according to what he likes. So basically what you are doing, you are training him in some beginning of Sakama Bhakti, based on what he likes. And he does it that way. Oh yeah, I like this. But then after some time doing it, he realizes, he can cook well. He realizes whatever he likes, he can cook perfectly. But then he will ask, wait a minute. Now, I'm cooking here because I like it that way. But is it Krishna also likes it this way? What does Krishna like? Shastra, Guru Sadhu Shastra. And explain what Krishna likes. Well, I want to cook what Krishna likes. I want to like what Krishna likes. Become Nishkama. So like that, through the education, you can elevate this consciousness. So that's what the teacher does. That's how he induces the mananam on the student, but he cannot force him. And how the mananam actually happens completely naturally, in the student, it's explained in Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasna sevaya uparekshantite jnanam jnanastatva darshina. So pranipata pariprasna sevaya, these three the student does: submissive inquiry with service. He has a question, he asks the teacher, but he asks in a proper mood. Submissive, please, I don't know something, I would like to know. Teacher explains. Then he goes, he does it, he does service. Menial services are the best opportunity for contemplation. Because body is working, but the mind is free. So you can contemplate. Cleaning toilets, you have plenty of time to think. And it's very good time for thinking. So with that, when the student does the menial service, he is thinking. When he thinks, what happens?
Questions come.
Yes, more questions come. So, and then he will come now to the teacher. Oh, when I was cleaning toilets, I was thinking about, please, can you explain? He explained, and then against us thinking. So the mananam, he is contemplating about the application. He may not necessarily do it, but he is thinking how to do it and how not to do it. And then he doesn't know, so he asked the teacher, okay, why should I do it like this? Why not like this? So he does it, various ways. And then at some point, he will try it when he is confident enough. And he comes to the realization, oh, that worked. Now, that's a good realization. Now, sometimes when a person tries something and it doesn't work, oh no, I will not try it again, I'm discouraged. But there is no need for it. Because even when he realizes that this is not good, how he tried it, it's a realization. And it can be positive. Why? Because he realized one way how not to do it. So there is less chances not to try it wrong again. If he sees it in that light, then it's positive for him. And then now he is happy. Well, okay, I found one way how not to do it. Instead of, oh, I tried and it didn't work, I'm not trying it again. He doesn't have to do that. So that's how the teacher induces the mananam in the student. And actually, the mananam, there is a focus on the mananam in the Gurukul. Because you cannot force them to realize, but you can lead them to, so then they come to the point of realization, and ultimately self-realization. Yeah. Yes?
A feature of the Dhabdan Samskara is that despite the couple's disqualification and lacking, the Dhabdan Samskara shows that the child doesn't inherit the negative qualities. But just before you were saying that the chanting and the reading of Bhagavatam dependent on the qualification of the, it seems as though you were saying it has to be, focused and all, which is based on the character and qualification of the couple. So there seems to be a contradiction.
See, the Gavarana Samskara, it's about consciousness and Samskara. So what is the consciousness of the couple at the moment of the conception? That's what attracts the jiva. Now, being preparing for the moment by reading Bhagavatam, by chanting the holy name, making yourself Krishna conscious, focused, then there is a good chance that you are going to be Krishna conscious also during the time of the act itself. And this is what attracts the jiva of the same consciousness. If you are not being focused, not preparing properly, and now you are not being Krishna conscious at that moment, you are being distracted. And it's just a matter of sense gratification. So what the consciousness of the parents is attracts that jiva, is that moment. So even though the parents can be devotees, but if they are not focused, at that moment, then there is a good chance that the jiva will not be Krishna conscious. You see, we have Kashyapa Muni and Diti. Kashyapa Muni, great brahmana, focused. But Diti, she was a little lusty. I want a child. It's not good time now. Wait a moment. No, I want now. And then he also somehow out of too much over affection, so just he resigned, and then he actually gave the child to her at that moment, but it was the wrong time, it was the wrong consciousness, and who was born? the moment. But the same thing, why are we living? What for? We are living for the moment of death. That's our time. That's our ultimate test. If you can be Krishna conscious during when you are dying, then okay, then you made it. But if you are going to be thinking about something else, you are taking another lifetime. The consciousness is the most powerful what we have. So we should endeavor to purify the consciousness. There are the 5 levels of consciousness. Basic levels. Anamoy, pranamoy, manamoy, vigyanamoy, and anandamoy. Those are the levels. Animals and small babies, like also. Anamoy. Me and food. That's all. But then, as the consciousness develops greater, so it becomes more extended. It's me, food, my mother, and maybe some other people. But it's about me enjoying senses. In the first one, I am enjoying this food, and if you take my food, I'll kill you. That's animals, right? The pranamoy is, I like to enjoy. You can also enjoy as long as you don't bother me. Then I'm okay. No, this is all society. Yeah, like a society, but that's like the moral platform. It's not much thinking about really what is right and wrong. And that's the liberalism. Just tolerate everything. Anybody can do anything, just tolerate it. Ultimately, it doesn't work, really. So then the next level is about dharma. So then the manamoy, it's about dharma. But there is the aspect of Krishna consciousness, it's still not there. Now it's about what's right, what's wrong. But not on the platform of justice, but platform of who you are. You have some responsibilities in the society. You do something wrong. And based on what your duties are, if you do something wrong, you get punishment. Or you get reward. So there has to be consideration not only like some person maybe hurt someone or kill someone. So according to the platform of the morality, you killed, you should be killed. Why did you kill? It doesn't matter. It's like the Muslim, they have the Sharia law. You kill, you should be killed. But the dharma it's about you killed someone. Why did you kill him? It was an accident. Okay. So, that could have happened. So, they judged, and according to that, and punishment, if needed, it's given. So that's higher. But then, then higher than that, then it's dharma, which is based on Daivivarnashrama dharma. It means Krishna consciousness. So, during that, that's Vigyanamoy. Srila Prabhupada categorized the first 3 as a bodily consciousness. Then, Vigyanamoy is a consciousness in which the jiva endeavors to go to platform of Krishna consciousness. And Ananamoy, it's platform of pure Krishna consciousness. So what we are practicing, that the Daivivarnashrama Dharma, that's that the devotees are on the platform endeavoring to go to Krishna consciousness. That's called Vigyanamoy. But if they are not endeavoring and they get on the lower platform of consciousness, morality, and like, then it's just bodily consciousness. It will not help.
So you just make it all
Yes, association. through proper association, one can overcome any problem, any obstacle. Yeah? Yes.
You told about the effects on consciousness, and you gave the statistics of like 40% depends on samskaras and 60%
approximately
association. So, but like at present scenario, we can see like there is 0% samskaras because no one is like educated in Vedic.
No, there are samskaras always.
People are not educated to go through these samskaras.
Yeah, I mean, when you say there are no samskaras, means people don't endeavor to give the good samskaras. But there are samskaras all the time happening.
Yeah. Impressions are coming due to environment.
Yes.
So, like when there is no culture of giving samskaras to the children and they are grown up, so now if we have to cultivate them in Krishna consciousness, like for example, their students are coming in Vrindavan also in our school. International school.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, to some extent, they are like pious and they are like appreciating Hare Krishna, Mahamantra and like Vrindavan environment. But they are not cultured in this, you know, proper way.
Yeah.
In a background. Or some other students coming, we are preaching to the students.
Mm-hmm.
So how to like give them Krishna consciousness? How to encourage them for becoming serious in Krishna consciousness if they have lack of proper samskaras after a particular age?
See, there was some interview, from what I remember, Srila Prabhupada was not the interview, it was like a discussion, and Srila Prabhupada was talking with one Formula One driver. And now, he was, they were talking, and about what? About car, engine, just talking, seeming like mundane topics. And then Srila Prabhupada was being interested to hear, so therefore he was, interested to talk, develop some, relationship. And then, as the talk goes, and, things are, so, and then, he explains how he drives and how he is on the track, and Srila Prabhupada hears and listens. And then when he talks about doing the races, so he asks, but are you not scared?
Yes,
sometimes that's the adrenaline and like that. And you know where the fear comes from? And then Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada turns the whole discussion about Krishna consciousness. So like we were talking about, see, so that what the children are interested in, you encourage them in that. And connected that to Krishna consciousness. Whatever they can do. If they can do good singing, just do that. Cooking, do that. If they can do anything else, just do that. Maybe teach them some simple worship, how to offer. Just whatever it is, whatever they are doing, they like doing, you as a teacher, then find a way how to connect it to Krishna and teach them that. Then they will be doing Sakama Bhakti. So that's what how we can capture them. Maybe some of them want to be managers, some want to make a lot of money. Right? So figure out. You want to be a manager? So then try managing ashram. Oh, that's what you are doing, it's wrong. You should do it like this. No, that's good. No, and then encourage them in that. You want to make money? Okay, so then try maybe you can sell something and then see how it goes. Learn the principles of how to make money. They will be interested. They will be doing. You teach them the proper qualities, the proper character, how to be good, how to make it connected to Krishna, and then they will achieve perfection.
That means simply giving theoretical information is not sufficient. We have to give them some practical.
If you have a vaishya, you have no successful person. Maharaj was talking also about yesterday. No. Do they have it now from, because they have diploma from some school? Most of the successful people are dropouts. They don't have any diploma. Because they were sick of hearing it, they wanted to do it. So they did it and now they were successful. If you want to teach someone how to sell, how to do things, you have to put him with a person who likes to do that and who knows how to do it. Not that he sits in the classroom and hears about it. That can't be useful. So you have to give them the opportunities to practice it, what they like. And you as a teacher, guide them to do it right. Yeah? Yes.
When you explain about the five consciousness and level of consciousness, and you said that Manasram, Dali Manasram Dhamma is Ganama Chakra. And in this modern age, we are preaching to modern people and also saying that yes, continue materialistic life. Whatever you want to do yourself and just chant and be happy. And we'll give you some knowledge also. Then how you categorize this thing, this preaching system, which part they are
actually? See, you let them do what they are doing, right? And just add Krishna consciousness, add Hare Krishna Mahamantra to it. That's the beginning stage. What are you doing? You are elevating the consciousness. You are connecting some way or other, their activities into Krishna consciousness. But they are still addicted maybe to smoking, drinking, right? And that's very difficult to connect it to Krishna. So they get somewhat purified by chanting the Maha Mantra. Purified enough to realize, oh, I'm doing some offenses. I'm addicted to drinking and smoking. What can I do? What should I do to get rid of it? I don't want to do it anymore. So when they give up that attachment, then their progress will be much faster. But it's not that you cannot do it, you cannot do this. For some it may work. Mostly they will say, no, there are too many restrictions, I don't want to have anything to do with Krishna consciousness. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, just add Krishna consciousness to your life and let it work. The work will be that it purifies the anarthas in the heart to the extent that the person will want to give up their nonsense activities. Whom did he preach? Srila Prabhupada teaches to hippies. And because of Prabhupada's purity, because of him making them chant, then they give up and they come to the platform of getting initiation. So strictly following the regulative principles, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra seriously, that all comes to the point that they become very serious. So that's the process. So you can encourage the jiva, but you cannot force. Like a child. Now you have a small child and you force him to chant 16 rounds every day. If you don't chant, don't eat. Or whatever. What will the result be? No? He will chant 16 rounds. But as soon as he doesn't have to, he will not want to chant. He will hate chanting 16 rounds. He will hate probably everything maybe about devotees, and he will just, as soon as he can, he will just run away. Because he was forced. But you can do. Do you want to chant? Come chant with me for some time. Okay. Okay, I want to play. Okay, so you go play. I have to finish my round. next day. Do you want to chant with me for some time? Encourage. But don't force. The children, no, they are like that. And no, many of the adults are like kids. So you have to also deal with them that way. So you find what works for them, what they are interested in, and you encourage them into it.
Yeah, you also mentioned that after becoming Krishna consciousness, how to train them again?
How to
train? Because after living out this materialistic life,
yes,
you become devotee. And then you talked about the generation thing, that we should create this generation, we should train our children very nicely.
Yeah.
But in ISKCON, our society, we cannot see ISKCON thing like disturb education. Then how to practical way, how to train?
Well, the system has to be established. It was established by Srila Prabhupada, and we have to just follow, follow his instructions. So, first of all, we in our society have to take seriously the importance of training children. Then, seeing that there's an importance, then we have to, we have to emphasize, we have to demand that there are, some ways how we can train our children properly. So gurukuls should be in many places. And not gurukuls where they have like Indian curriculum and it's just a name gurukul but nothing to do with gurukul. Not that one. We have to have the proper gurukul as a place of guru, who teaches the children. So we should, as a parent, we should demand. No, we need it. When there is a demand, then there will be a result. But the fact is that many devotees don't see the need for it. Because they don't know that the parents want it. And the parents, many not being trained, they also don't know what to want. But if the training goes on, then it starts spreading. I see over that past 25 years, then there is an increase. The interest of the parents, for the samskaras, for training the children, it's increasing. So that's a very good sign. We must thank all the parents that they are actually taking the endeavor and properly training the children in such a way, so then and then they have the trust to put their children into our school, so then we can do our best to fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada. But it's a cooperation, the teachers and the parents. Okay, then last question.
Yesterday, one leader in one of these meetings said, I talk about the Gurukul system, and he said, it's not practical because this is for Brahmanas, and now all the children are Brahmanas, so...
the Gurukul is actually for... all the children are capable to take advantage of the Gurukul system. But based on their individual mentality, they will be trained differently. But Gurukul is meant for all the children. They can take advantage of that. Yeah? Now, if... most of the things we talked about, it's actually written in this book. It's our publication, Bhaktivedanta Academy. And you can also get the book, is there?
If I didn't bring the book.
Oh.
I'll bring it.
Okay. Anyway, if anybody interested, then this book is available. It looks like a book for kids, But it's actually not for kids, it's about kids. And not only about kids, it's also you as a adult can also take advantage of this book.
And academics will appreciate it. Even academics will appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There is one comment I made to the last question in relation to language. I see the English speaking, the relationship between the student and the teacher is exactly the same as we can relate to anybody. You know, when you apply this, because there's always a relationship with teacher and student, whether it's through disciple or husband and wife, and you face it into your teaching with detachment goes a long way. So it's not just applicable just for your teachers and your children, but actually developing community and relationships.
Of course, the relationships are not among all the devotees.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you, Prithivaran Prabhu. And just to tell you that those who didn't come yesterday, we have a few more copies of this booklet. If you want to get one, I can give it just after this. And Maharaj will be speaking again from 4 to 6. And the topic is more related to curriculum. So for those who are interested in homeschooling or parents of Gokul boys who are coming, we'll be speaking about different subjects, how they are taught, why they are taught. That's just the subject for tonight's session. Tomorrow morning we'll have the Gurukul teachers here to explain the different subjects in the Vedic perspective, how they are taught in the school. Okay. And then on the last day, tonight we're going to pass out, you can think about one list of different activities for the experience we're going to have on the last day in the morning, day after tomorrow, in the morning. All kinds of activities we do in Gurukul, you can be exposed to that. So we're going to pass a list tonight, and you can apply for that for the different activities, and be organized according to your choices. Hare Krishna. We also have the books here for those
We didn't talk about it. Basically, we take from Upanishamrita the first four verses. So what is it? First, Ashwagam is about yourself, right? So it's about that you control yourself. Why do you control yourself? Now, you have to be able to avoid what's not good. Then you have to do what's favorable. And why are you doing that? Ultimately, for the right. So you practice those relationships among devotees.
Yeah, it's actually a good idea.
Ultimately, the first four verses explain exactly how to help
I don't want to spend here.
I don't want to spend here. find out what they want. But after that, find some moment, and then okay, now we will.